Sahanau bhunaktu sahavirjankaravavahai tejasvinavaditamastomavidvishavahai Om shanti 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 Om jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Are there any more Situpatis or they're all on the floor? Then when you put this, can you put one on top of here? Because it's still hot, and then when I put my hands down like this, then I pick up stuff, and it ends up in my mouth. And then when it gets cold, then you don't have to put it down. Okay. So, did we read we just started here. Okay. Adhyayana 4, Adhikarana 4. Bhagavan is the chief meaning of the word Brahman. So, yesterday you asked the question about so many different uses of the same word. So, today Jiva Goswami is answering your question. Yes. Yeah. Anucheda 101, right? So, this is a basic thing. Everybody's got to know this one. Adhikarana Prakashika. Having presented quotations from the scriptures to prove the superiority of Bhagavan over Brahman, I guess over the Brahman aspect of the absolute truth in the previous Adhikarana, an argument may be presented by the opponents that, quote, the scriptures contain numerous quotations which glorify the absolute truth by using the word Brahman without referring to the word Bhagavan. Therefore, the quotations which refer Bhagavan aspect as superior should be assumed contextual references only. Because they're saying in so many places it's talking about Brahman, and if they say Bhagavan, they're taking it that Brahman is the main meaning, and Bhagavan is an alternative meaning. You know, like I can call it a kamandalu, I can call it a pot, you know, I can call it a water container, you know, but the main one, you know, it has a main meaning. And so they're taking it Brahman is the main meaning. So you've shown that where it does show Bhagavan and Brahman, it shows Bhagavan is superior to Brahman. But they're not going to let go of it. They're going to say that's contextual. That's just bringing out more glories of Brahman. You know? It's just, they're very attached. One should understand this. The jnanis are as attached to their thought process as the karmis are to their fruitive results. Like that. It's not that there's any less false ego. Because it's all based on the ajnana shakti that they all think I'm the controller and enjoyer. So it's a more subtle form. It may be, generally speaking, it'll be taken as a superior form. Right? Like if a common person is attached to his possessions, everyone says, oh, he's just attached. But if the intellectual is attached to his theory, they'll say, well, you know, he thought about it so much effort, so, you know. What about the other guy? He didn't work to get the house? It didn't happen just like that. You know. So, on one sense, it is higher. But at the other point is that the false ego is just the same. So that's why you see, just as the karmis will keep coming up with a, you know, a thought, no but, you know, then they'll also do the same. So it shouldn't be surprising. Oh, no, it's already been explained. No, they're just as attached. So that's why Jiva Goswami has to defeat it from every angle possible until there's nothing left. Then after that, then you can just see they're just being attached. They're not using the brain. You know, we knew that from the beginning, but, you know, at least then you give them the benefit of the doubt that you went through everything, and now if they still go. Because otherwise, you see, in the past, there were these big intellectuals. And if you cleared the doubt, they were looking for the absolute. You know, I had Madhvacharya, he had produced his Vedanta commentary, you know, and that, it was, you know, had gone out. He went on a tour around India, went to the Chardams, you know, to discuss and everything like that, you know, and to establish Vaishnavism. When he came back, then there was one big pundit from the south, very big. He was, I think, at the time, the biggest. I don't know what his name was. So he came to him and says, I read the commentary, it made sense, but I have one doubt. And then he asked about the whole point about the soul and the Lord and this and that and the oneness and all that. But you say that they're separate, but how can you say they're separate once they've kind of attained that same platform? So they have generally, especially the Madhvas, they have these little square copper little stands. They have sides on them, so they're completely closed on the sides and the bottom. And in that, they keep their Achman cups and that. So it's like they don't put them directly on the floor. One, it's just for cleanliness. Two, it's also easy. You can just move it. Otherwise, you don't have to move a whole bunch of things. So in there's the Achman cup, and there's the Gindi. It's like a pot with a nose on it. You can pour water to wash hands and stuff. No? Yes?
Yes.
Sing? Okay. So the two of them were in there. And then he brought that over, put that in the middle of the floor, took out the Achman cup, took out the Gindi. And the guy's watching. He poured in the water from the Gindi. He poured in the water from the Achman cup. And whoever it was, then they said, exactly. Then he picked up the tray, poured it back into the Achman cup, poured it back into the Gindi. The guy looked at it. He just did full dandavats. He was convinced. So they're looking. The ones that argue no matter what, they're not looking. It's just, you know, a little bit, they found something, they're good with that. They're not actually trying to get all the way to the absolute truth. They're just trying to answer some questions, and it's good enough. Yes?
He asked two questions. One is that about the Jiva and Supreme.
Okay.
And then this particular question, that what is Brahman? You say one, like, no, Bhagavan is Brahman, and somebody says, like, no, Brahman. Then he brings coconut next.
Okay.
The full coconut. He asked, what is this? He says, coconut. Then he removes the green part first.
Okay.
And then asks the inside part. What is this, he asks? That's coconut. And he breaks it and gets the shell, the main thing, like, which he eats.
Okay.
Removes the shell and gets the main thing.
Yeah,
he asks, what is this? He says, coconut.
Okay, yeah. So many names. So there, he answered your question. Yeah. It's all coconut. But it has different, you can call, it's all coconut, but you can call it the husk, you can call it the shell, you can call it the fruit.
Yes.
You know? Is that?
Without fruit, the other things have a different name. But if they are with Bhagavan, then.
Yeah, if it's all together, it's that. Yeah, that's the whole point, is when that's there, it's all called coconut. But if you took out that part and that, you just call it a husk, or just call it a shell. Hence, is Bhagavan, when it's Brahman, then it's yes. Smart.
Maharaj, it seems that, of course, he says, sometimes when it is about Vedic means devotee or Vedic scholar, they are quite familiar with this type of example.
Yes.
Very practical example.
Yes. Yes, because they're taking from the Shastra. That'll be somewhere explained in some Upanishad or some place, you know, some Purana. And so, like Prabhupada said, all of his examples that he gives, they're all from the Shastra, you know. And then sometimes they'll take that and apply it into something that we're more accustomed to. But the point is the principle of these examples are the same. And generally, as they are, you can use them like that. But, you know, instead of mango, you use potato.
I was thinking the coconut example, you can't do this with potato. Because potato doesn't have those, you know.
That's why it's considered the perfect fruit. Yeah, but it's coconut. Yeah, so in the West, they may not know all those things because.
Only in India it's relevant. Otherwise, you explain somebody, they never saw coconut and it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
They have virtual experience of everything.
Hmm. But you could kind of, yeah. You do it with the mango a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the whole thing. It's mango. You peel it. It's mango. You cut the flesh off the seed. And that, what's that? It's mango.
And who saw mango?
Huh? Who saw mango? You saw.
He saw coconut as well.
He also saw coconut. Well, that's why he's here. He's seen it. Before joining the 12-year course, have you seen a coconut or a mango?
What conclusion do you derive from?
Yes.
This should be when the students apply in an application, it should be one of them.
Yes.
Then we can give relevant examples, otherwise.
Yeah.
Data is universal.
Yeah. Or at the beginning, you show. You know, project on the thing, you show, you know, with the stick and that. This is this, that, you know, then the next picture, then like this. And yeah, because it's so simple, that one. So exact. Okay. So they're saying, Bhagavan, therefore, the quotations which refer Bhagavan aspect as superior should be assumed contextual references only. Ultimately, Nirvishesh Brahman is the only absolute truth, end quote. So that's their idea, is that you only have the Brahman, and then you have all these other things in context of Brahman. You know, the Jiva's there because that's illusion, Brahman covered by illusion, you know, or then there's Ishwara, that's Brahman covered by goodness or by knowledge, like this, you know, so that's the thing. So they're going to, yeah. In order to counter this argument in the current Adhikarna, the author established that Bhagavan is the chief meaning of the word Brahman, and thereby proves that the concept of absolute truth without form and qualities is illusory. Right, because the absolute always has form and qualities. There may be the impersonal aspect, but that's also. He has form, he has qualities, and there's the impersonal feature. There's also the localized feature. That's the absolute truth. Yes?
So can we say, when we define Brahman as all-pervading, that's his form?
It is, but it's just he may be doing that through his Brahman feature. But that feature is coming from his form. But at the same time, is everything's within that form. Because he's unlimited. So that's why you see is that there's a universal without, which you'd expect, what Arjuna was shown. But then Mother Yashoda was shown the universal form within. That everything's in there. Because the other one is what was in this universe. What she saw was all the universes and everything. So both are correct. You know, he's, you know, everything's within and without, you know, like that. And he's within with everything at the same time he's without. So that's why he says inconceivable oneness and difference. So that word inconceivable is very important. You know, because generally we'll tend to, you know, just go, you know, we generally would just talk about the beta, but it's the achintya part is very important because it doesn't make sense to the intelligence, and that's the point. The supreme absolute is beyond the intelligence, so it's not irrational to say that the absolute is beyond this. That one of the qualities is of achintya, means this inconceivable. So the inconceivable aspect of the Lord, that also is one of his attributes. It's not illogical to say that. And saying that, then that means that you cannot understand him by logic. But it's logical that he can be inconceivable. You know, it's just a feature of God. Otherwise, if he's just like everybody else, then the song may not be wrong. Right? But the point is, you know, it's not like that. so there's these basic fundaments that if those are caught, then everything else. So we can see is that the Uttamadikari, it's not that he's the best at logic. That's why no one can defeat him. Or the best at rhetoric. It's that these truths are realized by that first individual. Right? Because they have realized that, then they think when they say something, they know. You know? It's just like you have a house and then someone else says it's all illusion, there is no house. It's kind of like, no, there's a house. So then you can explain it from so many angles how there is a house. So the Shastras then give and they're just quoting those. It's very straightforward. So it's not like you have to memorize this huge amount of knowledge. So the point of like us going through this 12-year course is not that we'll memorize all this at the end. It's that we'll have understood it or realized it. Because if that's there, then whenever something comes up, then you can deal with it. So that's actually the main point. Because then you're convinced. That's how then others are convinced. Otherwise, if it's just an intellectual exercise, then those who aren't intellectual won't be attracted. They might be impressed, but they won't be attracted. You know, that it's something they can do. Because they'll say, oh, I'm not smart like that. I can't do this. Right? But it's the conviction. And those who are intellectuals, then they see is that there's a conviction there. It's not just argument. It's not just logic. It's not just trying to win a debate. It's not based on false ego. Yeah? So that's why the Uttamadikari cannot be defeated. Because they've seen the absolute truth. So they don't. Well, the Madhyama generally won't be, but can be just because he runs out of arguments. Or can't remember that one, or what the word was, and so the other person, you know, may on that point catch them. But it won't disturb their faith, it's just, okay, you know, okay, I'll have to look that one up next, you know, something. You know, study a little more, be a little bit more aware. And the neophyte then generally can't defeat and can get affected by someone else's confidence. That'll be the difference on that platform of knowing the Shastras and explaining, right? Because there's the three features. There's that, there's chanting, and there's faith. Right? Lord Chaitanya gives those three. Right? You know, it's like the neophyte sometimes chants, the Madhyama is always chanting, and the Uttama, by seeing him, you chant. You know, so that's Prabhupada. You have all these wild people and they're all chanting. Why? Because they're just seeing Prabhupada. Like that. And then the faith one, oh yes, if the faith is changeable, or if it's fixed, or if it's, you know, has that absorption in the personality of Godhead, you know, that rati and stuff. Like that. So
faith in devotees.
Okay, yeah. The general is in the Lord, but it's not strong, then you have faith in devotees. And then what's the third?
Third is like, as you said,
okay. Yeah, because sometimes there's specific words, and those specific phrases are really good, because they just nicely explain. You know, as Prabhupada said, is that for his purports, he thinks about it, and he uses an exact word, an exact phrase, so it's how he wants it to be said. Right? So that's why one is being careful not to change that. Does that make sense? Right. Yes.
What you mentioned is actually one of the main arguments Siddhanta Saraswati gave on Smarana. He said it's nothing to do with how, you know, your memory is developed. It's not about memorization.
Okay.
It's about realization.
Yes.
So you chant the name, and it's all there. You don't have to be an intellectual to practice smarana. But unless it's there, I mean, people trying to fake it, but
does it fake it till you make it?
Yeah.
But yeah, unfortunately, then everybody does that. So yeah. And you see, as the acharyas, when you talk to them. they'll say, well, I don't know, I don't remember. I'm not, like in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. You know, there's the one devotee, he say, yeah, you should, you know, he'll say, I'm not the great, you go to this one. And he'll give all his glories. And then when you get there, when Narada Muni gets there, then he says, oh, you're this, 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 by quoting those glories. He'll say, no, no. You know, it's like Brahma says, you know, who is it? Is it, who's before him? Prajapati?
Indra.
Then he said, he's always with Vishnu, sometimes with me, and sometimes he goes away because he goes to work and all that. But Brahma's always with Vishnu, so he's much more, what do you call it? Elevator fortunate. And when he gets there, Brahma says, yeah, he's always here. He means he doesn't leave here, but he has his own residence. And he only comes out for formal occasions, accepts our worship and prayers, and then he goes back to his residence. He doesn't stay with us. You know? And then he mentions the next. He mentions Shiva. Like that. So it just keeps...
Pandas say the same thing about the Yadavas.
Sorry?
Pandavas. It's later in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. They say the same thing about the Yadavas. Because they say that Krishna comes and visits, but he always lives with the Yadavas. That's why they're much more fortunate.
The Yadavas.
Yeah. Because he stays in Varga.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, because it said that Indraprastha is like a branch of Dwarka. It's connected with the pastimes, but yeah, okay, so there's more. But then Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, so then Uddhava's then. There's also the aspect, because in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, because this is, since we're in this area, you know, since we're being intellectual, right? So then there's the aspect in Brihad Bhagavatamrita where it mentions that the element of separation, the taste of that separation from the person that is very dear, then a friend reminding them of that person then brings back that taste. And so then that's a very fortunate thing when to have someone remind you. So, because up to is always generally thinking that Uddhava's going to Vrindavan, you know, to deliver a message, but for him to see this higher level of bhakti and appreciate it, which is one of the aspects. But the other is that by him going there, he reminds the Brajbasis of Krishna. And then the feelings of separation, that just increases their ecstasy. Well?
Yes, I'm thinking Ramananda Samvad is the same principle. Mahaprabhu knows all the truths, but then when Ramananda says it, then all the feelings, you know, like current, like it comes to the surface.
Yes.
So he puts his own words in the mouth of his devotee and then hearing from him, because otherwise it's quite unusual.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
When there is a connection between realization and faith.
Realization and?
Faith. Shada.
Faith, yes.
So actually it is why we just try to increase our faith.
Yes.
With everything we have more faith for the acharya, actually.
Yes.
And like that, the realization is automatically coming.
Yes. So means, Prabhupada mentions prema is mature faith. So then the faith in Krishna is greater. So if you're looking from that side, then from the faith, then that's because their faith is greater, these truths are realized by them, therefore they can speak. And therefore they're always absorbed in the name. So you can say is that the faith will be the central point. And then symptoms of that will be how they're chanting and absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna, and how well they can explain about Krishna and remove doubts. Because faith is the main thing. Because when Shraddha to Prema, it's about faith that you're looking at. Yes, that's the better. So make that. That's the central point.
Yes. And if we take the other way now, for example, life is giving us some realization.
Okay.
And by getting some realization, we can be less in illusion.
Yes.
Yes. And develop faith. And
yes. It doesn't go the other way. It means it's just like, let's say the kitchen is dirty, right? Or the kitchen is clean. But in any state, you can go in the kitchen and arrange to cook. But if it's clean, it just makes it, the cooking starts immediately. The other, you have to go in and clean it yourself. So the point is these can only create a situation that's more favorable, but it doesn't create bhakti. Bhakti is independent. Right? So therefore, then these life things, for the karmi, it just means they're more open to the point that the material world's not going to make them happy. And you can't find happiness there, and it's temporary, and we're eternal, and that's, you know, these kind of aspects. But the devotion, then it's because therefore our relationship is there with Krishna. That's what we're supposed to do. So that's the one aspect. The other, for the devotee, it's because in context of Krishna consciousness, they've heard the material world is a place of misery. And they accept that and accept the supreme position of Krishna and his pastimes and his calm. So then when they do experience these difficulties of the material world, it just reminds them of that. So it's actually coming from the knowledge gained from the association of devotees, from scripture, from authority. So it's not just the material wisdom. It may be you become wiser in that, but it's based on the Krishna consciousness. Because even if somebody is very wise materially, they'll still benefit by the addition of Krishna consciousness. Right? Yeah, and unless also you have the aspect, unless there's more Krishna consciousness, how do you not get affected by the material? Right? Material things don't go right. You could either think the material world, this is the way it is, so you can't complain. You know? Or you could say, I'm a devotee, I'm doing service, why does Krishna do these things? Right? So one is you have faith that the material nature can be nice. That it's nice, that's just Krishna's grace, but it's normally not. So if anything is a little nice, that's just by Krishna's grace. And when it then goes back to its natural position of not nice, that's just the way it is. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just how you say? You know, the baby is there. You know, what's the natural state of the baby? Right? If you're out in public. Right? Fussing, crying, making a scene. Right? So if somehow another, one of the family members or friends can make it peaceful, that's not the standard. So if it goes back to crying, you don't know, how is this? Why is this baby crying? How is it? That's the way it is. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the material world it's not a nice place. You know, that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the example. It's like using the toilet. You go in, do your business, and leave. You don't set up camp in there, and you know, like that. Good? Okay. The word Brahman means supremely great. According to the consciousness of the worshipper, this supremely great Brahman is realized in different forms. So, supremely great Brahman is one level of realization. Then Paramatma is higher, then Bhagavan's the highest. So Brahman doesn't mean the Brahma Jyoti, it means supremely great. Brahma Jyoti is a feature of supremely great. You know, it has that unlimited feature to it, all-pervading feature. But it itself is not inherent on its own. It's still a dependent feature of the Lord. So the Sarup, that's the independent. Paramatma and Bhagavan, though independent compared to everything else, is still dependent on Bhagavan. For those who have proper bhakti, the Lord manifests as a superior form, para, forearm form, or Krishna. For those who worship in an inferior manner, the Lord appears in an inferior form, apara, such as a universal form with patala as his feet. For a person with dry jnana, the Lord manifests as the formless Brahman. For the person with bhakti and abundant jnana, the Lord appears as the controlling Lord in an inferior form, Ishwara. The inferior forms are steps to manifesting the superior forms. They are not like Brahman with no form at all.
Right. Here, usually they use Ishwara as inferior, isn't it?
Yes.
Because in the Gita, we say...
Yeah, but this is all within apara. Are you saying they use the superior or inferior?
In the Gita,
right.
For example, when we say, you know, the connections between Shiva and Ishwara,
yes.
Then the meaning is superior.
Then the meaning superior. In the context of us and the material energy, means all the forms of the Lord are always superior to the material, to us and the material energy.
Okay.
Like, just like we're always superior to the material energy. But we come under the control of the material energy. But the Supreme Lord, even though he's working with and entering into, he doesn't become affected by the material energy. So that's just that's what we would call contextual. Right? In other words, Krishna is always superior. You know, so whatever is the position, then you show. So if it's him and his energies, he's always superior. Whether it's Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. Right? But when it comes to him himself, then there's going to be the superiority of Brahma, Brahman is Paramatma, then is Bhagavan. And then if Bhagavan, he has all his different forms, then his form in Braj will be the highest. So, because inferior form, he's just the controller, but it's not like he's the source of everything. The inferior form's a step. Okay. The inferior form's a step to manifesting the superior forms, right? Means if we go through them, then the next stages come up. They are not like Brahman with no form at all. The intention is not to discard these inferior forms. They may be considered to be dependent on the superior forms. That's just all it's showing, because in explaining it, Krishna himself in the Gita, he's talking about surrendering to that supreme person and this and that, and he's talking about Ishwara. Because on the material platform, then that is. But the point, who's saying that? Bhagavan. So it comes to him, like that. Because otherwise, then he says, Thus, the word Brahman can have different meanings according to the level of consciousness of the worshipper. But out of all these meanings, the chief meaning is Bhagavan, because only the Supreme Lord, Sri Vishnu, is unlimitedly great in all aspects, and the word Brahman is used aptly to describe his possession of all qualities. Right? Because it's all qualities. So the Brahman itself may be mere guna, right? Because it has no material qualities, but it's based on the effulgence of Krishna's unlimited qualities. So if Brahman is unlimited, that's because Krishna's qualities are unlimited, both in number and in volume. Like that. So that's what it says here. The word Brahman is used aptly to describe this possession of all qualities. But they try to use Brahman to say there's no qualities. So that's why we say is, even though they're transcendentalists, they don't really understand. Right? They're technically, you could say, situated on the Vijnanamaya platform, within the material context. Like that. Sometimes it's described that they're on the level of Ananda Maya, but that's generally, that won't be these Mayavadis and others like that. They're Vijnana Maya on a good day. Right? So that will be the Brahmavadis, these big jnanis or these yogis, that there's a mix of jnana and bhakti. For them, then they're on that Ananda Maya platform. But they're at a lower level than those who have taken up a relationship with the Supreme Lord. So they understand and accept his position and all that. So like the four Kumaras or Sukadeva Goswami, they are situated, you could say, in Anandamaya, but at a lower stage. just at the Brahman stage. You know, the yogis then made a Paramatma, then you get to Bhagavan. Yeah.
Then it would be the distinction between Vijnanamaya and Anandamaya in this regard. Because usually we say Vijnanamaya is the one who realized Brahman. So those would be the Brahman.
It's based on Brahman. It's based on that, but it's a matter of the knowledge. That's more of a position of sadhana. But so they don't, it means, and once they never get past it. Just like, let's say, for example, we will be talking about Manamoy in the, we can use the context of anybody who accepts the superiority of the absolute. And so therefore standards are set by the absolute, not by us. And then we do our best to follow. And so, in that case, then you would count, you know, anybody who has like that. So any world religions, anybody like this, they would all be counted in there. But at the same time, as Ramanujacharya points out, unless one's actually situated in Varnashram, you technically can't say he's actually on the platform of Manamoya. Right? You know, because otherwise, where does all the things come from? You know, it's like, Every last ritual that a Christian follows, they're all made up. Every last one, there's nothing that's original. You know, except for maybe, do they use wine? Yeah, they do. They have a whole thing where they wash the cup and they do a whole thing, don't they? The Catholics, I think. I think there's a whole trip they do. But otherwise, it's just, there's nothing there. They don't use the Old Testament. They don't use all those different things like that. They just use contemporary, those who saw Jesus, and then those parts that they like that aren't talking about the religion. They just be nice, be good, you know, turn the other cheek and all that kind of jazz. That's the only thing that's left from it. Everything else is created. Where did it come from? You know what I'm saying? That's there. But that's my point, is he started it from there. So he started, you know, the church. And then from that, then it became East Orthodox, Oriental Orthodox, then Catholic. That then transformed into Protestant. Somehow or another, the other ones didn't, they didn't have a branch. They were, I guess, able to accommodate a little more. Because the Orthodox in that is, there's no problem like that. Like, well, I think one Orthodox, we went to a big, I think it's East Orthodox. And I think Russian Orthodox is counted as a section of that.
Yeah, because Russians came from Constantinople.
Yeah, so that it's not considered a separate religion. It's just, that's there, and they may have some uniquenesses of there, but, you know, but... so I was talking to this The priest who was in charge of this, a very old place. It's considered one of the major seats within the East Orthodox. And they have all kinds of icons, and every now and again these icons go around the world on tour, and everybody comes out to see. It's considered one of the major, you know, it's not like Constantinople, but it's one of the major places. So he was saying that, you know, somehow or another got a discussion how it's organized or how it's run. And he says that there's 10 of these, I don't know, these main priests or something like that. And that, so they probably have a name. He said they're kind of like your GBC. They all come together, they all discuss, then they make their plans, what should be done and everything like that. So, you know, they've been using this system for a long time. Like that. So that maybe is a difficulties the other didn't. So. How did we get into that? Yes, okay. And so, therefore, Ramanujacharya is making the point, until they're following Varnashram, then they're not actually situated in Manamoya, because, yes, they may, by faith, accept that, but their lifestyle is not. So the lifestyle is that of Pranamoya. It's all, they've made it up, and it matches with the social norms and everything like that. You know? And so that's the the thing that's there. So it'll be kind of like, it'll have that touch of manamoy, where they accept the supremacy of the Lord. So it's superior to just other pranamoy. So if you have pranamoy that they're atheists and pranamoy who are theists, the theist is superior. Or you also have where Prabhupada's making the point that all those who accept that there's a supreme God as a person, they're all technically within that Vaishnav understanding. You know? So that would, you know, Abrahamic, they're technically Vaishnav, because they accept that position. But at the same time as they're not accepting, you know, the practices and that will generate that pure bhakti. So it doesn't have the same drive and intensity as the four sampradayas. Right? Even though they may have their line and everything like that, it doesn't have that, because it's not professed to be about pure bhakti. You know, they talk about, if you bring up about pure bhakti, they have no problem with it at all. They're quite comfortable with it. But at the same time as, you know, they kind of, there's that verse after they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, where God says, now you have all this is yours, and this kind of lifestyle. And they generally center on that one rather than his statement a few verses before when they were still in the garden. You know.
Sometimes there is space, but there is personal interpretation.
Yeah, that's there. But at least this, at least in you could say, as you go back, then at least the interpretation goes back to something. Like the Western Christianity, then it goes back, like you said, to Peter. No, Paul.
Paul.
You know, who the Oriental goes back to, or these, I'm not sure. Or the Orthodox, I'm not sure. You know, the Judaic will go back to, you know, Abraham and stuff. You know, so there's something. It's going back. So the tradition that's coming down, no one made it up. These other things, you know, you have these other ones. Then they just get together and decide what they want to do. You know, where do you get all these other, the Protestant branches, where, like Henry VIII, where did that come from? You know, the sacred, not sacred. You know, it's like that. You know, say, so you accept Jesus or not. They accept. Why you're going in and making their churches into just buildings and taking all their wealth. So it doesn't make sense. You know, it's like you know, in France, Notre Dame. Then it's a church. Then it just became a government kind of go down, and then it became a church again. Right? So how does that happen? You know, it's either sacred or it's not. You know, it's just like that. So that's the difficulty, is that this pranamoy gets mixed in too much, and so you always have to be careful with that. You know, it's just like some in contemporary environments sometimes. Devotees will try to see our philosophy in the context of politically correct, you know, social principles. And so that's adding pranamoya. It becomes mixed bhakti. It's not pure bhakti. So you have to be very careful with that. Because otherwise, then it goes out of their realm, and then they're not situated in manamoya. So the point is someone on vijnanamoya, he has the support of the manamoy platform, means the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra on what's your lifestyle and how all that connects to Krishna is there. But if you don't accept that, you don't accept the varnashram and all these things, then the problem comes up is that you're situated on the platform of vijnanamoya, but how do you as a person function? It's impersonal. So your lifestyle is impersonal. Because it's generic, it could be anything. You know, and the best at personal is it's a subjective personal, rather than an objective. That the objective means it's Krishna's, because those things are how Krishna likes to live, and so that's not being seen. What's being seen is that it's just, do I like it or not? Or do I like that people that I value that are not devotees like it or not? You know, like the academics don't like this. I value the academics, and so I'm willing to adjust the religion or even the philosophy to accommodate them, because they're you know, so important. But, you know, as we see in that, this is a neophyte platform, 100%. You can't call it a mud, but you can't say, oh, it's for preaching. No, it's not. It's completely due to their lack of faith and inability, because the point is, points come up in Prabhupada's purports. Explain them. They can't explain them. So they want to change them so they don't feel uncomfortable. So it's all about their comfort rather than establishing the absolute truth. Oh, but these things people won't accept. Well, let's look at it this way. One, you accept it, you're here. You know, and you, that means if you value them, you come from that similar background. Otherwise, why would you value them? Right? And that at the same time is that they don't value anything anyway. So you change it, don't change it. It won't make any difference to them. You know, let us say, you know, you take a group that they don't like, and there's a specific thing about them that they don't like. So let's say they adjust that point. So now are they going to join them? No. So it's a fallacy that if we change this, then that, you know, they'll just be, you know, pouring in the doors, you know, because it's like, no, it's not like that. It's the purity is the force.
But now it seems that every living entity has its own level of consciousness.
Yes.
So with different aspiration, different purity.
Yes, yes. Yes.
And it means the difficulty is to all accept that there is one supreme and to work according to the law of the supreme.
Yes.
Because sometimes acceptance is for some time.
Yes.
But not for time.
Yes.
One topic, one topic.
Because there's still the point of I'm the controller and enjoyer. It's still that point of independence.
Yes, yes.
See, but the thing is it's not that it can't be done, because in the spiritual world, there's only one platform of consciousness. And there's 10 times as many living entities, so it is possible. So that's the whole thing. If that faith is there, that bhakti includes everything else, then it's already done. You know, it's just like the whole point is Prabhupada had ISKCON food relief. And so the point was, is we as Hare Krishnas are distributing prasad. You know, for this, one is that people are hungry, they need to eat, so we're feeding them, but we're feeding them prasad. And it's known, we're Hare Krishnas, and it's prasad. Then somehow another, then it got changed into food for life. And then it's not necessarily known as Hare Krishnas, and it's not known as spiritual food. And so then, at that point, I think Jayadwaita Maharaj, then he took exception to this. Because his point is that instead of it being getting bhakti, they're just getting a gyata supriti. So they could get so much more. It's like before, after the Sunday feast, when there was prasad left over, there was a lot of prasad. If it was just a little bit, yeah, you'd eat it for breakfast the next day, but if there were tons left over, that then they would, you know, take it, put it in one of their Sankirtan buses and go down to, you know, that area of town where all the homeless people hang out, and drive up there and then, you know, start a kirtan or not or that, and all the guys come around and they give them prasad. So once a week they get something nice, you know. And they all know it's, you go dressed as devotee, it's the Sankirtan band, they all know it's Hare Krishna. Yeah. Like that. So, yeah. That's the whole thing is that purity of the consciousness is there. Then you can say it's at that level. Otherwise, then the tendency is it'll be mixed. You know, it's like Mahatma is talking about. It's a mixed platform. You know. So the thing is it has that aspect. It's based on that point, but Brahman means the greatest. So it's that we know it's Bhagavan, but we're just even trying to figure out how Krishna's everything's connected to Krishna. So our bhakti's not so that's why we're sadhakas. So at least we're situated on the Brahman platform. Then as we advance, then we move into that Anandamaya platform. Right? So you could say basically spontaneous devotional service, then you could say that platform is there. For us. You know. So then, you know. And so that would be the difference. The Brahmavadis, then it's based on Brahman, but they're seeing it as the greatest. And they're, you know, there's a happiness that they're getting, and it's consistent. That's how they can tell the difference. The Mayavadi, then sometimes he has his moments, and most of the times he probably doesn't. But let's say for the four Kumaras, they're always on that Brahman platform. They're always tasting that happiness. Right? So then when they come in contact with that happiness of smelling the tulsi from the lotus feet of the Lord, that brings them forward to that platform of bliss. You know, so it goes beyond the happiness, delight, and ecstasy. It goes into another category. So they call it Ananda. You know, it's just like they just say happiness, but we can see here in the Anandamaya Purush, happiness is just the head. You know? Does that make sense? Because if you're happy, it's there. But if you're delighted, everybody knows that's more. And if there's ecstasy, it's more than that. And then bliss, that means it's beyond that. You know? So if you just take it as happiness, not everybody's happy. But that's not Ananda. So that's why that Ananda Maya Purusha is different. Because then you're connected to the Lord. The other, if it's just a matter of you're absorbed in yourself, and so therefore you're not connected with the Lord, then the amount of happiness is small, because it's only the amount of Ananda that we have in the soul. So if you take 1/10,000th of the hair, divide it by 3, that third, that's how much we have. You know, and for us, that's a lot, you know. But it's compared to connecting with Krishna, who's the unlimited form of Ananda, then that's why then it goes into that other states. So that's how they can tell the difference.
Now you have the same system. Different meaning of happiness. Different level, and different level of banana, different level of. It's more or less the same word.
Yes. Yes, same word, but it goes. It's just knowing the where it actually fits.
Yes.
You know, so that's the whole thing, is that they are depending on the level of consciousness,
yes.
Then you have all these, which one is prominent for you. But that doesn't mean that it's not about us. It's not Buddhism. It's about the absolute truth themselves, measured by themselves. Because they're the source of everything, so why would you use a measurement of something that is not how they would measure? They give the standard for everything, so it's their, so it's just like the Supreme Absolute Truth then is given the standard for how you situate yourself in Varna or Ashram. You know? And so these Mayavadi, these sannyasis and these like that, they'll say this is up to the standard of or not. And this is there or not, or like that. So all these things, they're willing to use the Lord's standard. But when it comes to about the Lord himself, then they use their own standard. You know, they say it's from Shastra, but what about all these other points? So that's the difficulty. Does that make sense? Yeah, they pick and choose. They pick and choose. Okay. Ooh, that was just the introduction to Anucheta 101. Okay. So there's only one Adhikarana in...
Huh? One Adhikarana, one Adhikarana.
Okay, but it's a big one.
Yes.
Okay. Anucheda 101. The chief meaning of the word Brahman is the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Great, in whom exists impersonal Brahman. Impersonal realization is also called Brahman, great, since the light from the Lord's limbs and his existence in a general form are also great. Right? So the light that comes from his limbs is great, therefore it's called great. But it's in context of him. You know, just like the shell and the husk are considered in the context of the flesh of the coconut, right? Does that make sense? So that's there. But if they're not, then they're separate. Ananto Bhagavan Brahma Anandet Yadibhih Padaihi Prochayet Vishnur Evaika Paresham Upacharataha. Vishnu, Brahman, is called by names like Ananta, Bhagavan, Brahman, and Ananda. Others are known by these names secondarily. Brahma Purana. One cannot describe each of the qualities of the Lord, since he is unlimited. Because of this, the word Brahman is used to describe his possession of all qualities. So they're saying it means no qualities. But the point is you use that, the greatest, right? What was the word? Supremely great. Because you can't describe every one of his qualities. And then to the depth of that quality, and that, you can't. Therefore, then he's called Brahman, the greatest. So he possesses all qualities. So it's actually, that's what it's meant for. So then taking it and using it against that, that's wrong. That's wrong. Thus it is used to describe Vishnu. Except for him, others do not have unlimited qualities. So it's Brahman means it's describing unlimited qualities. So then to describe it without qualities, that's an illusion. So they're functioning under the Ajnana Shakti. Maybe that would also be the difference, is that those who have given up the... Then that would be the Shanta, wouldn't it? Because if they're going to not be working under the Ajnana Shakti, and they've given up, I'm the controller and enjoyer. But I'm not sure. So I am Brahman, I'm spirit. So they're identifying themselves in a neutral state. So it's not in the actual full understanding, because they as a living entity, you apply qualities. Right? But they're not applying them. So then you could say in that way they're touching on Anandamaya, though they're actually situated in Vijnanamaya. Does that make sense? But that would only be those who actually come to that and give up the I am God and I'm going to enjoy the Brahmananda and all that. Because they're not going to get out of the material. Does that make sense? I think you were mentioning that the one group may get into Mahakalapuras. It's the outer covering of the universe. So they don't even get out of the universe. So it's the outer covering. You know, you got to give them that credit. But that's it. But then there's those who get out farther.
Yeah, that's
Sadashiva Loka. Yes, the Sadashiva Loka. So they must be more like the Kumaras or that kind of person. Yeah. But anybody else, these unpersonalists, they don't get out. I say Hotel California all the way for them. Right? No? Yes, well that's there, but they're still within the Mahatattva. If you're in Sadashiva Loka, you're still within the Mahatattva. So that aspect is there. But at the same time, but you're situated in Brahman, but you're not in the spiritual planet. So it is also that in between. The Sadashiva, he's in between the spiritual world and the material world. So just like we're between the internal potency and the external, then, you know, within Shaktis, then he's in between the Lord who's independent of the material world and then being connected to the material world in Ishwara, right? So like that. So that's why one is as he's in his own category, because he's not Jiva, he's not Vishnu, he's not Shakti, because he has his Shakti, that's the material energy. But at the same time, as he's not the supreme, because he's a devotee. Right? So he's an expansion of, you could say, Balaram. This aspect of, is there in Balaram. Krishna doesn't manifest. So Balaram has it there to a touch. But you see then when you come up to Mahanarayana and then out to Sankarshan, that's then where you'll see. And then that expands, either expands into the spiritual world and you don't see it, or expands into to Mahavishnu, and then now you see it. And so then from Mahavishnu, then the glance is the part that goes in, the part that stays out. You know? So probably, does it also mention either case, whether they're in Mahakalapura or in his place, you know, in Sadashiva Loka, it's both controlled by Shiva.
Yes, but different aspects of Shiva.
Yes, it means one is Sadashiva, but the other is then Shiva within the universe.
Exactly.
As the Guna avatar.
Yes.
Like that.
Because it's in connection with that verse, Goloka Namini Jadamni Talaika. So Goloka is the highest, and Devi means lowest.
Okay.
And then Shiva has two places. One is inside, one is outside.
Okay. Okay, so for as Shambhu and as Sadashiva.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Then it seems also you have the aspect, I guess maybe his place is connected to there. You can say something?
Yeah, I think there is two aspects. One is as the time factor himself is Lord Shiva, and as the master of Maya Devi, who controls. He has that both functions simultaneously.
Okay.
Because Maya Devi herself, she has two functions. One is to cover the Jiva and then to entice him.
To throw him.
And then he is the master of her, because then the Lord has come in contact and it's Lord Shiva.
Mm.
And then the other aspect is that the modes have to function, and then also through time factor he decides when the modes will be, like which mode will be prominent. No,
okay.
Universal time, like what should be when.
So he says what, he says when, he says how. Okay.
So that's his idea, this pandemic?
Sorry?
Pandemic is his idea?
Good chance. But it's all according to, it's not whimsical, it's according to what is it by time, then, you know, now is the time for those who are supposed to experience that for it to come up. You know, so those living entities that will be exposed, they'll be here at this time. It'll be, you know. I'm trying to look for who's
the person.
who's to
blame?
It'll go more into this. Okay, so get into Paramatma Sandhana. So. Okay, so we'll just stick to 101 right now. So. Okay. Yeah, so one cannot describe each of the qualities of the Lord since he is unlimited. Because of this, the word Brahman is used to describe his possession of all qualities. Thus it is used to describe Vishnu. Except for him, others do not have unlimited qualities. So Brahman means Bhagavan. And you can say, okay, it means that, it may mean that feature of it, but that's, it's Brahman because it's based on him. This is the meaning of this large topic which has been expounded. The knowers of tattva say that what is advaya jnana is tattva. Advaya means?
Non-dual.
Non-dual, okay. So Krishna is tattva. Right? It is called Brahman when realized without qualities. It is called Bhagavan when realized with qualities. Bhagavan is endowed with the form, with qualities previously mentioned. He is not without form. Vishnu Purana 6.7.47 says, Bhupa murtam amurtam cha param cha param eva cha. O King, the Lord is with form and without form, with four arms and without four arms. The Lord would be expected to appear in these four forms. Right? Probably four forms in Chaturvyuha. If the formless aspect is accepted separately, then Brahman will manifest according to the qualification of vision of the worshipper. For those who have proper bhakti, the Lord manifests as a superior form, para, forearm form, or Krishna. For those who worship in an inferior manner, the Lord appears in an inferior form, apara, such as the universal form with patala as his feet. For a person with dry jnana, the Lord manifests as the formless Brahman. For the person with bhakti and abundant jnana, the Lord appears as the controlling Lord and inferior form, Ishwara. Because why we say inferior form? Because then he's only manifesting the aspects of controlling the universe. Because as Ishwara, that's all he's doing. So for him, that's not a big deal. For us, it may be. But for him, it's the interaction with his devotees that is important. That's the supreme position. So when he's interacting with the devotees based on their devotion, that is para. And when he's not, that's apara. Because as Paramatma and as Brahman, then that's not happening. It means you offer prayers, he reciprocates. But the point is that personal dealing based on rati, that's then Bhagavan. Right? So, does that make sense? So his forearm form, if you're just seeing him as the super soul, he'll interact as the super soul. If you're seeing him as Bhagavan, he'll interact that way. Like when we're dealing with Kiradakshaya Vishnu, or Karanadakshaya Vishnu, it's as the Paramatma of the Mahatattva. Right? But we see when Krishna and Arjuna went to visit him, he's Bhagavan. But it's a junior position because he wanted to see Krishna. Like that. And it's unique. This is a unique flavor because you could say, well, as you know, Paramatma or as Hiranyagarbha, he's already seen. I mean, as Kirudakshaya Vishnu or Karanadakshaya, Garbhadakshaya. But there are three different features. One's Shankarshan, one's Parjumna, one's Aniruddha. So they're different personalities, even though it's one. One person is manifesting a different flavor, and so they take that unique form. So he wanted to see also. Right? So that's going on. And, you know, unlimited universes, so it's unlimitedly going on. You know?
So now here we can see that you have full vision of the mind.
Yes. I mean, hey, if you're taking that, then you have the Brahman, then you have universal form, Hiranyagarbha, then you have the yogi is Ishwara, and then you have Bhagavan. So then it says here about the forms, four forms, and this would be also these four forms. Karmis, jnanis, yogis, and devotees. Okay. Yes. They would also match because they have the lords of the Chaturvyuha. But it still is, this is the form that you're applying it to. That's why it also mentions that these Hiranyagarbhis, that they're meditating the universal form, they'll go to Brahma, at the end of life, they'll go to Brahma's planet. But they'll stay with him until he leaves. also mostly yogis and that also. But those who through yoga then attain that, then yeah, so they get up to there. No, I think the Hiranya, no, excuse me. The yogis, because it has that mix, they'll get to Brahma Loka and they'll stay there. The Hiranyagarbhas, after they leave the body, their body, they'll merge into Brahma's body. And then at the end of his life, then they'll, you know, get whatever benefit. But and the yogis will also be up there until Brahma leaves. Like that. So only the devotees that, you know, and then this life, they can go directly go. So, yeah.
Yes, in Kapil Gita, it is Vishwanath Chakravarti, he explains it in you know, very fine details, and he says those yogis, those who realize Vishnu aspect of Hiranyagarbha, they go
to Brahmaloka.
After Brahmaloka, when they're already there, then after Brahma goes, they go with him.
Okay.
But those who see only the Brahma aspect, they stay there.
They stay there.
They don't go beyond.
Okay.
Because a Brahma has three aspects, like Chaturmukha Brahma, Vairaja, and then Hiranyagarbha, which is the basically Vishnu aspect of Brahma.
Okay, where he's creating.
Yes. So according to that realization, whether they see the Vishnu part or not, then they continue to Vishnu or not.
Okay. So Chaturmukha would be doing...
Just engineer.
Okay, engineer.
He's the one who is here.
Okay. And then the second was?
The Vairaja.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that would be the metaphysical aspect.
Yes, that's the universal form.
Okay. Okay. But then Hiranyagarbha, then what is that?
That's the Vishnu he manifests himself.
Oh, okay.
That's the supreme aspect of Brahma.
Okay, so that how he's representing as a guna avatar.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, yeah, because he says he's born from Virag in Manush. He mentions that point. Because Virag is half male, half female. So he's born from that. So all the masculine and feminine aspects of the universe, that's the Hiranyagarbha. I mean what do you call it?
Virag.
Virag, yeah. Okay. 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 So stop me. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai.